Welcome to The Third Mind, a podcast that examines the world of supervision in transactional analysis psychotherapy. I am Aruna Gopakumar, a provisional teaching and supervising transactional analyst. In each episode of The Third Mind, we present a supervision session, a dialogue between a therapist and a supervisor, where the therapist reflects on their lived experience with the client. Therapists talk about their questions, stuckness, mistakes, and ethical dilemmas, and think together with me about them. Each session is followed by a discussion with other psychotherapy trainees to apply theory to practice. The clients presented here are fictitious, though the challenges of the practitioners are real. I have created this in collaboration with my trainees who have enacted the roles of the supervisees to bring these challenges alive.
Welcome to episode 4. When the client shares something randomly.
Hi, Nikki.
Hello, Aruna.
Yes, Nikki. What would you like in supervision today?
I would like to present my client. Can I go, Aruna?
Sure. Also tell me what you would like in the presenting.
So my client is around 28 years old. She got married last year. She's very confused about many things in her life. Right now, she's primarily preoccupied with her career choices. In the session before last, she unexpectedly shared with me that she had sex with a random stranger. She said, "My husband and I have decided that we will have an open marriage so that neither of us feels constrained in our lives." I didn't know what to do with this information, so I let it go. In the last session, again, while speaking about exploring career options, she spoke about her never having had the chance to explore her gender. So she experimented with having sex with one of her girlfriends. Both the times she mentioned these in passing, quickly moving on to her career issues. The question I'm sitting with is this my need to bring it up? If I were to pick this up, will she feel judged? The other thought I had was, did I in some way give her permission? Was she looking for validation? My not probing it further or negatively reacting to it, could that be seen as validation? This is a very disturbing thought for me.
I can see the churn this is causing for you, Nikki. Now that you've shared this with me, would you like to tell me what you would like in supervision?
As a therapist, what is an adult approach for me? You know, what is my remit as a therapist? What should be the right way to deal with this?
Okay, so I hear you asking me, what are the boundaries of your responsibility as a therapist?
Yeah, she's bringing the issue into the session with me, even though she's saying that her contact is to be clear about what she wants from her career. But if she is bringing it in the content, then it becomes my responsibility, isn't it?
Is it your responsibility?
So that's my question. You know, what are the boundaries of my responsibility?
Yeah. So you mentioned contract. Yeah. What is the contract with her?
She basically wants to clarify what she wants from her career.
And how did the sharing come up? In what context?
She wants to change her job. She said she wants to explore new and different things to figure out what she wants. She mentioned this as a part of her explorations to figure out what she wanted.
Okay. So in the process of sharing, talking about her exploration, she mentioned these as well. Yeah?
Yeah.
So what is your understanding of what could be going on for her when she shares material like this unexpectedly in a manner that can shock you?
I was wondering about that. If she doesn't want to work with it in the session, why is she bringing it up? There's something that's making her share. Does she want me to pick it up? Is she testing waters before venturing into that space with me?
Good questions. Do you have answers?
I think she wants something from me. She did want something from me.
Sure.
But I didn't pick it up because I was scared she would think I was judging her.
So do you believe if you pick up something to discuss, you are judging her?
My fear is if that I pick it up, I might say something wrong because I don't know how to handle something like this sensitively. I don't want to communicate any judgment of her. And, you know, how do I bring it up objectively?
So I see you're putting a lot of pressure on yourself to be objective.
Yeah, especially because in this case, she's not seeing it as a problem.
So if you were to pick it up and bring it up, I'm curious, what would you say?
In the last session, I wanted to bring up the issue of self-sabotage. Is she being reckless? Is she setting herself up for hurt? But I held myself back because that is not something she explicitly said she wanted to examine.
Okay. So that's a constraint I see you placing on yourself. If she doesn't say she wants to examine something, you feel hesitant to bring it up.
Only because of the nature of the issue. Will she feel judged? I won't hesitate for other issues.
Okay. So are you judging her, Nikki?
I'm not judging her. I'm concerned that my not bringing it up will validate this for her. My guilt is I don't want to validate her or encourage it in any way.
So you don't want to encourage her, which means you're judging the action, isn't it?
Well, I would rather she not. So I am judging her. I don't like that thought.
Yeah, I see you resisting the idea that you might be judging her.
Yeah, I am.
So what are you feeling?
Shame.
For not being perfect?
Yeah.
In what way are you not being perfect?
As a therapist, I need to be accepting. Instead, I am judging her.
And what are you judging her for?
For doing things that are not culturally permitted, right? I can see my own script at play here.
Say more.
I've lived such a constrained life. My upbringing strictly prohibited any experimentation with what was looked down on by culture.
Yeah. Good connections you're making to your own script and your own hesitation and your worry about judging and all of that. Yeah. As you make sense of all of this, do you think you're seeing her action differently?
She's making her choices. I may not jump to the conclusion that what she's doing is wrong.
Excellent. Yeah. It is okay to have values different from that of the client. And your goal is to explore the choices with your client.
Yes. Yeah.
Let's talk about your hesitation to bring it up. Yeah. You feel it's not connected to the contract and she doesn't really want to explore it because she mentioned it in passing. Did I get that right?
That's right, Aruna.
Yeah. So I want to say that anything that comes into the therapy room is up for discussion. And if you feel if you're not sure that it is connected to the contract, you can ask the client and ask if there is a connection to the contract.
I could do that, yeah.
Yeah. And script is revealed not just through the content of what the client says, but also their process. Yeah, so there is definitely some process in her sharing something out of the blue like this. What can be shocking to you? So what is it? What could be her process in wanting to shock or alarm you?
Well, she's rebellious. She's had very controlling parents and she was also abused as a little child.
So how do you... Now that you're remembering this,
yeah.
How do you connect this to what happened between the two of you?
I wonder if shocking others is a way of rebelling. She may go against norms and provoke people into directly getting into conflict with her.
Yeah, yeah. So maybe she was inviting you into conflict in some way. So she actually may want you to judge her.
Quite likely.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What should I do? If you ask me, I want her to stop having these sexual explorations after she's married. Is that my remit? It's not, isn't it? And I can see my script and cultural expectations. Yet, I feel something is wrong and I must do something about it.
Okay. So take a minute and see what's wrong.
I think she's not doing these explorations as an adult. I see an element of self-sabotage. I feel she's setting herself up to be hurt.
So great. So that's something you can work with, isn't it? If you see the self-sabotage, you could work with that. You don't have to work with the extramarital sex.
Actually, yeah, that's a relief. Otherwise, I would be working with moral beliefs and they're not absolute.
Absolutely. Good awareness. Yeah. So how could you invite her to see her self-sabotage, invite her to activate her, invite her adult into the therapy room in some way?
I could invite her to reflect on the pattern and not get hooked by the content into a game. I want to make her see the rebelliousness as a script decision.
So if you listen to yourself, you said, I want to make her see. So that is indicative of a frame of reference, which you might believe that there is one truth. And that needs to be seen. And your role is to make her see it. Yeah?
Yes. I see that I'm not able to see the alternate perspectives. I could say I can invite you to think about this and be open to the idea that she may see it differently from me. Maybe I'm seeing this as self-sabotage. Maybe it really is exploration where she's concerned.
Yeah. Yeah, possible. But value your intuition too. There's a process that she's not fully aware of. Maybe you can wonder about it along with her. Yeah? So what, yeah, go ahead, go ahead. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that struck with me. I could wonder about her intent in randomly sharing this with me and what her fantasy is about how I would react.
Wonderful. Great.
Yeah, I can do that.
Yeah, yeah. And also, when you hesitate to bring up something that's not connected to your contract, I wonder about your overall contract with her. In your overall contract, have you spoken about processing things that happen in the therapy room?
I'm not very explicit about it. I think I could do it better.
I think it's important because the client is script bound. They may not recognize areas where work needs to happen. And it is okay for you to raise issues and see how they respond.
Yeah, I'm thinking that normally I don't hesitate, but in this case, I was feeling guilty about judging her. I was also feeling guilty because I thought my silence was encouraging her. Now that feels baseless.
I see that as the grandiose thinking of a little child, which is, I make things happen. In silence, I'm encouraging her. And so attributing a lot of it to yourself.
Yeah, I think so, because I am feeling settled now.
Yeah. So what is allowing you to feel settled?
I was judging and I was not aware of the process since I got so caught up with the content.
So you got pulled in some way into her process. Yeah. I would really like to stroke you for your courage in bringing this up for supervision. Yeah, you owned up to your own beliefs and now you're choosing to act in the interest of the client. Yeah, well done.
Thank you.
So, Nikki, do you think our contract is met?
Yeah, I see now what engaging with difference means. It's okay for our values to be different. She can be who she is, and I could process anything that comes up in the therapy room.
Including a client's resistance to discuss an issue.
Yep, yes, that is freeing.
Good place to close?
Yes, thank you, Aruna.
Thanks, Nikki.
Let's get to reflections on theory.
Hi, folks.
Hi, Aruna.
You just heard the supervision with Nikki. So shall we talk about it?
Yes.
Sure.
What's insightful for you in listening to this?
For me, I think it was a very interesting session. What stayed with me is that the therapist's own values can come in the way of offering unconditional acceptance to a client. But with awareness and personal work and supervision, it is possible for a therapist to not make their values the truth and acknowledge that the client is okay even when they have different values.
Yeah.
You know, I think some of these culturally handed moral frameworks operate in such an invisible manner. We may not even be aware that we carry them. You know, just as the therapist believed she was very open, but in the conversation, she recognized that she did judge the client. I'm aware that I might have had the same churn as Nikki had I been the therapist.
Yeah.
And I wonder what that means in terms of preparations for us as therapists.
Lovely question. Charu.
Perhaps we need some education on this. I'm aware that there are many forms of what are called consensual non-monogamy. I also know that polyamory as a prevalent practice, but more open conversations around this can help us not feel confused or stuck.
Absolutely. So education around the very many ways people can have relationships that are ethical and acceptable. So monogamy is not the only option available to people. Also, we need to educate ourselves around fluid identities, around gender as well. There's a culturally handed idea that there are only two genders, and we all know that it's irrelevant today. People can explore their gender, their sexuality at any age and figure out who they are. Now, as I talk about this, do you see any ethical principles at stake when we don't educate ourselves?
Oh, yes. I think we would be violating the principles of respect and dignity. People can be who they are. We wouldn't be fulfilling our responsibility towards the clients with regards to our own competence to work with people different from us.
Yeah.
And there is possibility of harm. We may end up judging them.
Yeah, that's great awareness.
You know, another huge permission that I received in listening to this recording is to wonder along with the client.
Yeah.
When the therapist said, I could have wondered along with the client on why that content was shared, for me, it was a huge permission to share your observations and make meaning of it together with the client without putting pressure on myself to know it already.
Yeah.
That's so true, Anand. The wondering together makes it an okay, equal relationship. Wondering together has another advantage, I think. It allows me to step into uncertainty and be tentative and allow for things to emerge.
Yeah. And that's a very important therapist competency, isn't it? To stay comfortable with uncertainty and to look for what emerges rather than predetermining the outcome. And there's really no pressure on you to know it. You can place your wondering out and invite the client to wonder with you.
I need to be tentative even about my own counter-transference, isn't it? Like when she had a theory that perhaps the client wanted to shock her and that it is the pattern that she had with her authority figures to invite negative strokes by doing things that were not permitted, her way of asking was to wonder about it with her client. like, what was your fantasy about how I would react? And that brought attention to a possible ulterior motive.
Yeah.
You know, I think this reminded me to attend to what is happening at the ulterior level. Whatever the client shares or I share may actually have an ulterior component.
You're right. And attending to that ulterior can help us listen to what the client may not be able to vocally express.
The other permission I received as a practitioner was that I could talk about anything that emerged in the therapy room, even if it wasn't part of the explicit contract with the client. I understood that sometimes clients drop hints about topics they want to discuss, but are hesitant to bring it up and hope the therapist picks it up. And the therapist can always ask the client more directly of if they would like to do that. They don't have to mind read. They can partner with clients in the process.
Yeah. Lovely. So I hear you say that what is unsaid is part of a psychological contract, and we can make it more explicit and bring it to the social level.
It also reinforced for me that anything that happens in the therapy room is material for exploration, even if it is not part of a verbal contract. It is the remit of the therapist to attend to whatever emerges, to look beyond the content, look at the patterns, and look at what is unsaid.
You know, the client's random statements, hesitations, choice of words, wiggle of toes, all are revealing their script. I might trust that more than the words they use sometimes, because there they may be guarded or defended.
Well said. Yeah. And we can bring all of these process elements to the attention of the client and explore it with them wherever relevant. And I think both of you are saying that contracts are evolving. Contracts can emerge. Contracts can deepen.
Yeah. And I also recognize that some contaminations of the therapist that I may also carry, like therapists must be perfect and never judge.
Yeah.
And, another interesting one, if I don't bring it up, I'm encouraging her.
Yeah, interesting, isn't it? So let's look at what kind of contamination is therapists must be perfect.
I think it's a parent contamination of the adult. Shoulds and musts belong there, isn't it?
Yeah, correct.
Is the second one a child contamination?
What do you think, Anand?
Well, you said it was the grandiose thinking of a child. I make things happen. And children often believe that they are responsible for what is going on. Like, I hurt mommy. Mm. So the underlying belief could be, I'm at fault.
Yeah. So it could be, it's a grandiose thinking. If I don't bring it up, I'm encouraging her. So taking full responsibility for it. So the therapist has to explore where that is coming from.
In personal therapy?
Yeah. Wow. So each of us has to explore our own process in personal therapy, in supervision. Yeah.
So much to learn from every session, Aruna.
Yeah, so true. I agree.
Okay, so is this a good place to close, folks? I hope this was interesting for you.
Yes.
Yes, absolutely.
Thank you so much.